Well, if you're new here, you have no idea. You're like, what is he talking about? Why is everybody so excited? Why do people look confused when they're trying to find a seat? It's because we're creatures of habit, and we had assigned seats, right? If you sat in my seat, I have a problem with you. I probably have a grudge against you. But now, you guys are like fish out of water. You're trying to figure out, where's my new seat going to be? So I hope you figured that out. You're adjusting. We've been in this place for several years now. If you're new here, we used to have the stage and everything over there. We did a bunch of remodeling, and we flipped everything, and everyone's all confused. And we were in a tent for the past 3 weeks. How many of y'all missed the tent already? You missed it. You missed it. Revival, come on. It's like a tent for a circus. That's really what it was. And now we have this, and we're extremely excited about this. And what you're seeing is a bunch of hard work from some great people at our church. We have had such a great experience getting some contractors in, and Darren, thank you so much for managing that. That was a fun project, but the construction went really well, very smooth, and then we had a huge group of our volunteers coming up here. And I really have to give a shout out to two people specifically. This week in particular has just been absolutely crazy. Jason Bender, who runs all of our technology, all of our audio visual. We got to give him some love. He's in this back room back here, and he can hear you though. He's got cameras everywhere. Don't let that creep you out, but he can see you. And he has been here until 5 a.m. almost every single night, getting this place ready. Go home, take a nap, and come back and do it all over again. And Brody Kirby runs all of our facilities. Cowboy hat here. Brody is a lot of the touches that make Zaya what it is. It's just thank you to you and your team. I know you guys we have great people here at our church, and I don't know what to call. There's a group of older gentlemen. And any name I give them will probably be offensive, so I just won't name them, but they've been up here every day and just serving and building, and so our team is just awesome. So one more time, a huge shout out. Thank you, brother. And bear with us. This is our first week back. We had a week to set up for this, and we did pretty good for a week, but we still have some changes to make and some construction to do, and we're almost there. But thank y'all so much for just your grace. We're figuring out our entrances and all that fun stuff. But okay, I want to tell you about what's going on this week. We are still in our season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And tonight begins our formed conference. At the beginning of every year, we hold a conference for our church family, to kick off the new year in conjunction with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We have this first conference, and we have that starting tonight. It'll be tonight, Monday night, and Tuesday night, formed conference. We start at 6 o'clock right here. We invite you. It's going to be a great time. I'm preaching tonight and tomorrow, and Tuesday will be Pastor Jess, one of our overseers, and Pastor Jerusha. We'd love to invite you to that. It's going to be a powerful, powerful conference. The next 3 nights begins tonight at 6 o'clock. Love to invite you. And also want to tell you about our youth winter weekend. How many of y'all have students, middle school or high school students? Come on, parents, where are you at? You in denial? Like, they still belong to you, you know? How many of y'all have young kids? See, that's the joy still there, you know? It's like, I love that. Okay, so if you have a junior high or high school student, we're starting something new this year. We're calling it Winter Weekend. It's February 13th through 15th. It's an old school Disciple Now. If y'all remember those Disciple Now, it's just we're gonna meet in homes, sleep in homes. It's gonna be like a great sleepover. We're gonna eat in those homes, and then we're gonna come up to the church for services, and just we want the students to be there, bring their friends, and we're gonna have a lot of fun. This is a fun little weekend for our students, unfiltered. Make sure you sign your students up now, and we can expect them. So we are in a series called Awaken. Have you enjoyed the series so far? Awaken. Some of y'all need to wake up right now. Some of y'all need to wake up. You're just here. You're here. Your body made it, mostly fueled by caffeine and a good attitude, right? You're here. Good job. You made it. But internally, what about spiritually? Are you here? Are you awake or are you asleep spiritually this morning? I mean, you made it here. You might have hit the snooze. You're 11 o'clock. Hopefully you didn't have to hit the snooze, all right? If you do, tell me what you're doing, because I don't know how you get to sleep that long. But maybe you hit the snooze alarm this morning. But here's what I want to talk about is it okay to physically hit the snooze alarm? But for some of us, we've been hitting the snooze alarm spiritually. We're spiritually asleep. We've been hitting the snooze on God because we want to stay comfortable when God is calling us to wake up. And that's why I wanted to start this year off with this series, Awaken, because some of us are spiritually asleep this morning. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, through this series, through 21 days of prayer and fasting, through the Forum Conference, you're going to wake up. We're going to wake up spiritually. Some of you need this more than you realize. Our theme verse for our series is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, "Awake, wake up, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." What's important about this passage right here is Paul is writing not to believers or unbelievers, but to believers. He's writing this passage to believers because you can be saved and at the same time be spiritually asleep. Like you can love Jesus, you can do all the right things and say all the right words, but yet you're spiritually dull. Paul isn't calling dead people to get saved. He's calling sleeping saints to wake up. So this series isn't about trying harder. It's about waking up spiritually. This is a series around the Holy Spirit. If you remember, I preached a message for Zayo at home called Faith in Jesus. We're talking about faith in Jesus. Faithful and formed. Faith in Jesus. And this series is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. My goal as a pastor is to get you the faith of Jesus and then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This series is about waking up, being alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit. In this series, church, this is what we're praying. Holy Spirit, some of y'all need this, come awaken me. Awaken my faith, awaken my hunger, awaken my holiness, awaken my spirituality. God, I am desperate and hungry for you. Because when we wake up, Christ doesn't just forgive us. He floods us with life. Amen. Awaken isn't about salvation. Awaken is about illumination. And this is how we're starting out the year. Awaken, hungry for God. God, do whatever you want to do. Awaken my spirit. So in January, every year, alongside of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, which we are currently in, we bring a series around spiritual formation and disciplines of the faith. And this series is no different. This is a wake-up call, church. Because some of you are spiritually tired, yet you are functioning. You're showing up. You're doing the thing. You're going through the motions. You are surviving. And maybe you would be honest today and say, I am running out of fumes. You can look alive, but you can still be asleep. You can attend church, but still be empty. You can sing the songs and still be dry. You can love Jesus and you can still be exhausted. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. Well, why? Why do we get like that? Because we're trying to live this supernatural life upon our natural strength, and that's not how it works. That's why you're burning out. That's why you're tired. Because you're carrying what was never meant to be carried alone. You're carrying something that you were never meant to carry. You were only supposed to receive this, not carry it. Self-powered faith always burns out. Amen. The problem isn't your effort. The problem is your fuel. God never asked you to be the source. He only asked you to be the vessel. Because if it's all on me, it will die on me. We're dependent upon God. God has a word for that. Zechariah 4, verse 1 through 6. It starts out by saying this, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up," like someone awakened from sleep. Awaken. Verse 6, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" This is how you wake up, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So here it is in plain language. If you want to wake up spiritually today, you're not going to wake up by your hustle, your willpower, your personality, your intensity, your discipline, your I've got this. I know so many people are saying, man, I got this. I got this. You're not going to wake up by saying, I got this. It is by the Spirit of God that you become alive. So in week one, kicked off the series talking about prayer. I believe that's the first part of being awakened. Prayer is how we waken our spirits back up to God. It's not about saying the right words. It's about aligning our heart with what God wants. And then last week, Pastor D kicked off, or he actually continued our series in week two, talked about living a holy life. How did Pastor D do last week? The feedback I got was it was the best message he has preached yet. See, holiness isn't about being better than others. It's about being set apart for God, which leads us to today. Because at the center of our faith, we believe here at Zao Church in the Holy Trinity. That is the foundation of our faith. We believe in a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for many of us, we know God as Father, kind of. We kind of understand that. We're saved by the work of the Son, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's just some confusion. There's a lack of understanding, and because we don't really understand the Holy Spirit, there's distance. Here's the honest question I want to wrestle with today. Is where you're at today, what if there's more of God available to you than what you have already experienced? Like, not a different God, not a new God. I'm not introducing something new to you, but a deeper relationship with the same God. What if there is more of God than you are currently experiencing? If you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is Awaken to More. There's more of God for you today, church. Awaken to more. I want to pray for you. Father, we love you. Lord, you awaken our spirits to more. Show us what there is more. We want more of you, God. Teach us that this morning. In Jesus' name, you believe it? Zao, give me a good amen.
Amen.
But wait, there's more. How many of y'all love infomercials? But wait, there's more. But y'all bought the shake weight. Don't look at me that way. Y'all got a set of knives you never wanted. But what? Wait, there's more, and you bought them. The infomercials, they figured something out about the human nature, that we don't want just enough. We want to know there's more. So they'd show you the product, they give you the price, and right before you're about to change the channel, they say, but wait, there's a second shake weight. One for you and your spouse. So the same product, same price, but now just suddenly feels bigger. And here's what's interesting. They didn't create something new within us. They just revealed what was already there. That phrase didn't start with marketing. I believe it taps into something that God put inside of us. Like, I'm saved. I believe I attend the church. And for so many people, that's it. Like, that's it. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you came to church. Like, is this it? Listen to a message, subpar message at best, right? And then, like, that's it? Is that, what are we doing? What if God was saying, you thought this was the whole picture, you get saved, you hear a message, you have some good coffee, and you go home. Like, what if God was saying, there's something more. There's something more to this. Not more stuff, there's more life, there's more power, there's more of God for you to experience today. That's what Awaken to More is all about. So I want to start with a verse that sets the tone for everything we're about to talk about. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. It's not about another podcast. It's not about another sermon. And for a lot of people, the kingdom of God is simply that. It's just another message. It's another church service. But very little is actually happening on the inside of them. They received another sermon, but nothing really has changed. There's a lot of people who believe in God, but they're not living by the power of God. And that word power matters. In the New Testament, the word for power is this Greek word dunamis. It means dynamite. Like there's this part of God that he wants you to have on the inside of you that is explosive, that is operating in a supernatural ability, a supernatural strength, and it doesn't come from you. This dynamite power living on the inside of you. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with right here, is what does it actually look like to live a spirit-powered life? That dunamis power, not just attend church, not just check the box, but what does it look like to live a spirit-powered life? Because that's the life that Jesus wants you to live. So I want to look at a few scriptures here. Watch this one, Acts 1:8. It says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He goes on to say that you need the power to be my witness in the world. But here's the point of the emphasis. You need power in this life, and that power only comes by being filled with the Spirit of God. This is Jesus. I mean, you got to catch this. Right before that passage, Jesus told his disciples, do not do another thing without the Holy Spirit. And now he's saying, you also need the power to live the life, and you only get it by way of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, who we model our faith after, the perfect one, our Savior, according to Jesus, being filled with the Spirit is incredibly important for you as a believer. But for the past 2,000 years, there have been very few Christians who have experienced this right here, experience the power of the Holy Spirit. For most Christians, you might find yourself in this boat. It's confusing. And the Holy Spirit is probably the least experienced part of Christianity. So we have experienced salvation. We understand Jesus, kind of. We understand how God sent Jesus to save us of our sins and make way for an eternal life. But this is God the Spirit. We just don't know about him. And because we don't know about the Holy Spirit, most Christians avoid him. Because they don't know him and they're confused by him, they avoid him. But here's what's crazy. If you read the book of Acts, for the rest of the book of Acts, the disciples are simply trying to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. That's the rest of the book of Acts. In fact, the last words of Jesus were instructions to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples spent the rest of their lives filling people with the Spirit. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and most churches not talking about the Holy Spirit. So I want to clear up some confusion on the Holy Spirit, and more so, educate us in a way where we desire to do what Jesus asked us to do and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's so many stories I can pull from in the New Testament, and I'm going to just pick two of them to show you what God wants for you. Here's the first one, Acts 19:1-6. It says this, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. A disciple is a believer, somebody who has professed the name of Jesus, believes in Jesus. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let that mess you up for a minute. It's one of the biggest questions I get on theology is, don't you get the Holy Spirit when you're saved? I'm just reading the Bible. Paul was visiting a church that he planted, and he asked the Christians there, hey, you received Christ, congratulations, but have you received the Holy Spirit? Like, out of everything that he could have asked them, like, how's the church doing? He planted this church. How's the coffee? Is it still good? You know? How's the preaching? Out of all the things he wanted to ask these new believers, he wanted to know, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Meaning this, there is more to the Christian faith than simply believing in Jesus. There's more. This is the starting point. There's nothing more important than that. I will give you that, a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing more important. But that's the beginning. There's so much more. Amen. If receiving Jesus was the only point of the Christian faith, then why have we not died and gone to heaven? You believe, congratulations, let's go. there's obviously more that he has for us here on earth. So they answered, no, we have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit, which many of you right now are going, that's me. It's what we don't preach in our churches. It's a common response of Christians. Wait, you mean to tell me there's something else I need to do other than pray that prayer at the end of service and receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior? They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And the truth is, you cannot receive what you do not know about. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? Well, John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. That's salvation. He told the people to believe in the one who was coming after him. That is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul talks about baptism here. I want to talk about it. I could take you down the history of where that word came from and why it was used, but I'll save you the Greek and history lesson. Here's what you need to know. The Greek word is baptizo right here. It means to immerse, meaning this. Jesus was saying, have you been immersed, baptized in Jesus? And then he says, have you been immersed, baptized in water? And to these disciples, and probably most people here, they had. You have received Jesus, you have been immersed in Jesus. You have then been water baptized and immersed in water. Those two baptisms have taken place. But there's one more immersion that needs to take place, and that is an immersion into the Holy Spirit. Paul said this. Let's take care of that. Verse 6. He placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they spoke in languages and tongues and prophesied. There it is. That's the third immersion. That's the immersion baptism into the Holy Spirit. And Paul was telling these disciples, man, I'm so proud. I'm so happy you received Jesus. And then you got baptized, but there's one more thing that you got to do. And notice what happened to them once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, once they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They did something so weird, so incredibly uncomfortable for so many people here. They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. I mean, we got half the American church saying that's from the devil. That's from Jesus. Amen. Here's how I see this. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there were some things that previously, without the Holy Spirit, they were unable to do. And now being immersed in the Holy Spirit, they now were able to do things that God wanted them to do, like prophesy and speak in tongues. Amen. God had more. And he has more for you. Amen. We just want to believe in Jesus. Make sure we're going. We don't want to go to hell. Who wants to go to hell? I don't want to go to hell. I just want to receive Jesus. That's it. And we sit around and wait till we die spiritually. Just so we can go to heaven. There is so much more for you, and it comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts 8, another story. Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed to the Messiah there. He's teaching people about Jesus. But when they believed, they accepted Christ, were immersed in Jesus. When they believed, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of the Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There it is again. There's that two baptisms, baptized into Jesus, baptized into water. Acts 8:14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. They heard revival broke out. People are accepting Christ. They're getting water baptized. And they said, Peter and John, go tell them. Peter and John were sent there to new believers, because they yet had been baptized in the Spirit. They say this in verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I thought we'd get the Holy Spirit at conversion. I don't know what to tell you. I'm reading the Bible. That they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were immersed. Let's take some time to just talk about this. Because I think so many of us go, come on, God, why couldn't this have been a package deal? Like a one prayer, you get it all, right? Like, let me just pray one prayer. I get the Holy Spirit. I get Jesus. I get baptism into water. Like, it's just the one thing. That's not what he wanted. God wanted the first baptism, that's the immersion into Jesus, to be set apart. Because it is the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. God wanted that to be so simple that there would nothing, that it would not even confuse you. There's nothing you could do to earn it. It's a free gift from God. Accepting Christ is the most important thing you can ever do. But you got to hear me. Accepting Christ is not the end of your spiritual journey. It's the beginning. God has more for you. And this is my burden for Zayo Church. I know you have salvation, hopefully. If you don't, we'll take care of that at the end of service. And hopefully some of you have been water baptized. If not, we can do that at our next baptism. There's another baptism that God wants for you in Scripture. I want to illustrate this to you in a story. In the middle of Los Angeles, where are my Californians at? Wow, still proud of that, huh? Still proud of that. Wrong crowd. At one point, I swear we were like 80% Californians, and now they just don't even, we don't even know. You don't claim it, we just, welcome to Texas. All right, well, in the middle of Los Angeles, one of the most busiest developed cities in the world, they were building homes, building roads, building businesses right on top of the city. What they didn't realize, if you're from California, maybe you know this story. I didn't until I researched it. But beneath the feet of these Los Angeles people is, they discovered something pretty amazing. They discovered this site called La Brea Tar Pits. La Brea? We'll call it La Brea, doesn't matter. For a long time, people thought it was just sticky ground. But eventually somebody noticed something, they saw bones. And it wasn't just bones, it was perfectly preserved bones. And when scientists began to dig the pit, they realized this wasn't just mud, this was a natural time capsule. Under the surface were thousands of fossils, perfectly preserved. Saber-toothed cats, mammoths, wolves, birds, entire ecosystem, perfectly preserved for thousands of years. One of the richest fossil sites in all of our planet. And it had been there the entire time. And that's what gets me. The treasure, it wasn't far away. It wasn't hidden in some remote jungle. It wasn't millions of layers into the earth. It was right there beneath their feet in walking distance while life was happening all around them. And once they discovered this site, everything changed. History was rewritten. But here's the key. The discovery didn't create the treasure, it just revealed what was already there. And that's exactly what I'm trying to present to you today about the Holy Spirit. God didn't add something new, he is revealing to you what is already there. Amen. And for so many believers, the Holy Spirit is not absent, he's just unrecognized, he is unfound, not distant, just unexplored. Like you can have Jesus, you could be saved, you can attend church faithfully, and you can still walk right over the Holy Spirit. That's what so many people do. See, proximity doesn't equal access. It's got to be discovered. You could be around the truth and choose to never tap into this. You can think I'm absolutely crazy today and go, I'm going to keep living this life I am living and ignore the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew this. He knew that we would do this. That's why his last words, and you'd think the last words of Jesus probably are pretty important. He says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In other words, what you need isn't somewhere else. He is closer than you think. The Spirit isn't missing. The Spirit of God is waiting to be discovered. And once he is discovered, everything changes. God has so much more for you, Zayo. I mean, I'm so thankful you are saved. You're going to heaven, praise God, but there is more. He has gifts that he wants to put on you. He has big things that he wants to do through you. He wants power to move through you. He has so much more for you. And we just want to say we're a Christian and vote for Trump. Man, that's what Christianity is all about. My heart today is hopefully to convict you. That's more than checking that Christian box and just coming to church. I want to show you something, Ephesians 4:30. This one wrecks me. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. Which I would think everybody in this church today would say, I don't want that. I don't want to be the one who grieves God and breaks his heart. What does that mean? I don't want to be that one. What grieves God? In this letter here, in the book of Ephesians, it was written to Christians, not non-Christians. So what do believers do that grieves the heart of God? What do believers do that breaks the heart of God? He's about to tell us. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Watch this. Don't take such a gift for granted. And we are taking the Holy Spirit for granted. When you take the Holy Spirit for granted, when you choose to not tap into the Holy Spirit, not be immersed into the Holy Spirit, not only are you missing out on the life that God wanted to give you, you're grieving God. So instead, this is what we should do. It's in the very next chapter, Ephesians 5:18. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be satisfied with living 20% of the Christian life that Jesus died to give you. There is so much more for you. You're missing out on 75% of what Jesus died to give you. Don't settle with what you simply have. There is more. Be filled with the Spirit today and find out. So I want to teach you today how to live a Spirit-empowered life. There's three movements of the heart that we must make. First, you got to open your heart. You can't receive what you're resisting. And so many people are resisting the Holy Spirit. We have put up barriers. We have put up walls. Maybe we have done it, or maybe some were put there by pain and confusion and bad experiences. For many people, their hesitation with the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It has everything to do with other people, with the packaging, with the presentation of the Holy Spirit. I was one of those people. I still kind of am at times. I was raised Anglican. Saved in the Baptist church. Those are two denominations, two traditions that love Jesus deeply yet refuse to talk about the Holy Spirit. I didn't reject the Holy Spirit. I just didn't know about the Holy Spirit. He wasn't taught to me. And then I went to Bible school. I went to Dallas Baptist University, but right down the street was this hyper-charismatic university called CFNI. That's where Pastor Dustin got trained, just by the way. These hyper-charismatic, uber-spirit-filled believers, and honestly, it freaked me out.
Yeah.
I was in a worship service in CFNI, and it was the first time I ever heard somebody yell out a foreign tongue. And my Baptist theology wanted to go up to them, put my finger in their face, and tell them why they're wrong. And then one of my friends from CFNI told me that he believes one day he's going to raise a dog from the dead. That didn't help. That's your aspirations, to raise a dog from the dead? And then a woman in our church got sick and passed away, and some well-meaning Pentecostal friends told us that we didn't have enough faith. That only confused me more. So I came to this conclusion, maybe you resonate with this. Holy Spirit people are weird, and I don't want to become one. So I avoided the Holy Spirit until God put me on a charismatic, Spirit-filled church staff where it was normal. It wasn't weird. Something was different. Worship was sincere. The teaching was biblical. The people were joyful. Faith was real. They talked about and preached about and taught us on the Holy Spirit. Not in a weird way, but simply just open up the Bible and refusing to ignore it. And for the first time, I wondered this question right here. What if God has more for me in this area? I had to wrestle with that. Because I had put up some walls. I had some barriers in place. And I remember people would say, hey, can I pray for you? And I would tell them, if you push me down, I will punch you in your face. I'm still like that, by the way. Don't touch me, okay? I was spiritual, but I was guarded. Then one day, I'm sitting on a dock at a lake, reading my pastor at the time. He wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. And I remember praying this prayer, God, if you have more for me, I'm open to it. And in that moment, I prayed a prayer that was in the book, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't this weird moment. It wasn't a forced moment. It was just this moment of going, God, I want more of you. And my life completely changed after that. Here's the point. I think many of us are rejecting the Holy Spirit because we're trying to protect ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is not a threat. He's a gift. Amen. From God. So let's try to understand this gift. James 1:17, for every good gift, including the Holy Spirit, and perfect gift is from God, from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, well, how do you do this? What do? You got to repent, and you got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we need to repent before God of the barriers that we have in place regarding the Holy Spirit. Our fears, our doctrinal positions, our resistance, our misconceptions, our apathy, our ignorance. This is where I was at. I'm telling you, those things, it offends God. You are making an accusation of God, the Holy Spirit, based upon what someone else has done to you. That's offensive to God. And then we repent and we receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is what I want for every single one of you. First, you got to open your heart. Here's the second thing we need to do. You got to step in deeper. Got to step in deeper. Here should be the prayer of every believer in this place. God, if you have it, I want it. God, if you have it, I want it. Because what you have currently is not all that God has for you. There's more. But he's not going to force himself on you. He's going to wait until you ask for it. And when he asks for it, he's going to give it to you. Ezekiel gives us a picture in Ezekiel 47. It's a river flowing from the presence of God. You got it. This is amazing. I love this picture. There's a river flowing from the presence of God. You got to get the scene here, okay? You are in this story. I'm going to read it to you. You're in the story. You got to figure out where you're at in the story. This is a prophecy of what Ezekiel had about the New Testament church, what we're trying to do here, okay? A river flowing from the presence of God. Watch this. Verse 30 of Ezekiel 47. As a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. So first in the story, we have ankle deep Christians. Like, you're saved. You've been immersed in Jesus. You're in the water. You're in the kiddie pool. You know, you're in the shallow end where there's floaties and pee. You know, it's like you're in the it's probably offensive, I apologize. You're not submerged yet, you're just in the water. You're just in the water. And I submit to you, that's probably where most Christians are today. I'm just in the water. I'm saved. I check the box. I'm going to heaven. I'm in the water. My feet are wet. Then he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. Now you have a group of Christians who want a little bit more. They're knee-deep Christians. They're in a group. They're serving. They're giving. They help where they can. They're trying to do their best. But they're just knee-deep. There's still more for them. Then he measured off 1,000, and he led me into water that was waist-deep. Now we have some waist-deep Christians. Now, if you've ever been in a river with a current, say you're fly fishing or you're duck hunting and you're in the river and you feel the current, you're up, the current is up to your waist. You start to feel the pull of the current. Like if you're not careful, if you let go, that current's going to take you. So what do? You brace yourself so you don't end up going somewhere that you don't want to go. And this is where so many of us are at with God. We're waist deep with God, but man, we are anchored down. I mean, we want to go all in with God, But yet, we want to brace ourselves too so we can still be in control. We anchor ourselves in comfort. You got to hear me. As a believer in Jesus, this is a very dangerous place to be. Because you're still in control. Because now, you're in control. You have become unwilling to allow God to move you. So I'll worship, just not like they do on the front row. That's weird. Got their hands in the air, they're jumping. Stefan was jumping behind me. I heard him, you know? That's weird. I'll obey, just not in that area. That's a little personal. Frankly, God needs to mind his own business, all right? That's my life. I'll trust God, just not with this one thing. We're anchored. We're waist deep. And God says, I have so much more for you. Let me give you another example. I'm gonna raise the current a little bit. Giving. Like we know what the Bible says. That is irrefutable when it comes to giving. You need to honor God with the first, with your increase, with your tithes and your offerings. We anchor down on that one. Man, I'll serve. I'll get in a group. But giving, I want control of that. The church doesn't need my money. Look, they renovated this whole place without me. They're good. I need my money. But the Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the church, the storehouse. And see that I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour in so much blessing that you cannot receive it. That's right. 10 people tithe here. Yes, right. You heard it. Those are our tithers. Statistically, 10% of the church tithes. I think it's higher here, to be honest. You guys are a very generous church. I love talking about tithing. I love talking about giving because that is the one area that God knows, do I have your heart or not? If you're not giving, God does not have your heart. He doesn't have it. Because you still have control. You're waist deep. You're anchored. I could pick a number of issues. That one is the most uncomfortable and you're sweating, so that's why I did that. But here's the point. We have chosen to anchor ourselves on what makes us feel comfortable. And I'm just saying it's a dangerous place to be. If you're a spirit-filled believer, you're willing to be uncomfortable. That's how it works. God is not after your comfort. He's after your conformity into him. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to look like Jesus. So he measured off another 1,000, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. This is where God wants you as a follower and as a believer in Jesus, where you're not ankle deep in your faith. You're not knee-deep in your faith. You're not waist-deep in your faith. You are surrendered in your faith. It's a moment where you go all in with God and all in on your faith, and you allow yourself to be completely in the hands of God wherever he sees fit. Have you ever been in a lazy river? We love lazy rivers. Lift up your feet and just let it take you, you know? Whee, you know? This is where God wants you. Well, you're not anchored. You have let go. You have lifted your feet and allowed the current to take you. It's the presence of God. You've allowed it to take you. I remember for me, when I decided to go all in, here was my prayer. God, I'm open to the Holy Spirit. I'm open to your leading, but none of that weird stuff, all right? I don't want to see no shofars or flags or snakes, right? Like, none of that weird stuff, right? And here's what I learned. God doesn't answer your prayers with conditions. So what we do, we look in the middle of the river and go, man, you see what they're doing over there? You see the life they're living? You see the provision and the presence of God? I want that. But I got to keep a toe on the bank. You can't be in the middle of the river if you want to stay in control. So go at your own speed. But here's what I'm asking you not to do. Don't stay where you're at today. Go a little deeper. If you're ankle deep, well, first, you might need to step in the river. We're going to do that at the end. Maybe you're in the river, you're saved, you've been baptized into Jesus, you believe, and just your ankles are there. Or maybe you're knee deep, or maybe you're waist deep. Take a step today. What does that look like? Give. Serve. Come to Life Track. Today, after this service, is Life Track. It's a chance to get involved at the church. Come to 21 Days of Prayer. Come to the conference tonight. Go all in with God. Why do you think we do all this stuff? It takes a lot of time and effort and energy, and I think we're going to die a lot sooner than we probably should from all the stress. We do it because we want to see you go all in with God. Amen. What happens when you do? I love this, Ezekiel 47:9. When you let go, you go all in with God, let the Spirit of God take you. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There's life in the river. There will be large numbers of fish. That means multiplication. There's multiplication in the river. Because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. There's some things dying in your life. Let go. Because there's life in the middle of the river. Okay, so open your heart. Step in deeper. We'll close with this one right here. Walk with the Spirit. It's an invitation. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit's not a thing. The Holy Spirit's not a force. It's not a vibe. It's not an energy. But by the way, we as pastors hate when people say that. It's not a vibe. It's not an energy. It's not a ghost. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Amen.
He's God. And there's a deep and intimate friendship that the Holy Spirit wants to have with you. I mean, think about it. Jesus told his disciples, don't do a single thing without the Holy Spirit. Those were 12 guys who were handpicked by Jesus, walking and learning from Jesus. They lived with Jesus for 3 years. They know the teachings of Jesus. And he said, don't do another thing without the Holy Spirit. They had not yet experienced the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And it's evident in the story of the disciples. Peter denied Jesus. Why? Without the Holy Spirit. But then 50 days later, he was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and he was preaching to thousands who threatened to kill him. He denied Jesus in front of a teenage girl, and now he's preaching to thousands because the Spirit of God is on him, and he doesn't care. Second Corinthians 13:14, I believe this is what God wants for you. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The Greek word here used here of the Holy Spirit is parakletos. It is a companion. It's a friend. It's as if you picked up a rope and the Holy Spirit picks up the other side and you walk together. You're picking up your life. Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of you, pick up the other side of your life, and you're going to walk together with the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to convict you. I want you to be awakened. I want more of God for you. I want to lead you in that right now. If you would, just close your eyes and bow your heads. I want to pray for two groups of people. First, I want to pray for the people here that's not even in the water yet. You don't have a relationship with Jesus, much less the Holy Spirit. Your first step isn't to receive Christ, isn't to do anything other than to receive Christ, to take on the faith of Christ and follow Him and commit your life to Him from this day forward. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. And what we're going to do is, just like we were reading in here, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you into Jesus. That's the first baptism. It's the immersion. So Jesus, I just want you to pray. Pray this to God. Say, God, today I receive your son Jesus. And I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died for me. And he rose again for me. And I confess that I need him. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I need Jesus. So I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. And I walk a new life. I turn from my old ways of living and I place my trust fully in you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and lead me from this day forward. Now I believe that you're in the water now. You've been baptized into Jesus. But there's a second group of people that have received Jesus, but they've never received the Holy Spirit. As I read these scriptures, I just can't believe it that there's these new believers and they send Peter and John in Acts 8:14 to pray for those Christians who were newly saved so that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to pray over you today, just as they did, just as I received that there at the dock of the lake. I want to pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to baptize you today in the Holy Spirit. So if you would, right where you're at, if you want this, just open up your hands. Nothing weird is going to happen to you. In fact, I really push back against the weirdness. I want it to be, because I don't want it to weird you out. This is a gift from God. It's not weird. It's something He wants to give you today. Just open up your hands. It's a heart posture saying, God, I want this. I want more of you. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you right now. I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I come to you with an open heart, asking you to baptize these in the Holy Spirit. Just tell Jesus, baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. Fill me with every part of the Holy Spirit. I want your presence. I want your power. I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit promised to me in Scripture. I release my fear. I release my control. And I step fully into the river of your Spirit. Lead me from this day forward. I walk dependent upon your strength. Guide me by your voice from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.